This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell you something that very much surprises me. I don't know if it surprises you, but Alex Verdugo is still a free agent, the former New York Yankee. And The Athletic reported today that Alex Verdugo has not received a single major league offer since becoming a free agent. Not one. Because when you hear that Verdugo's a free agent, it's natural to say, yeah, he's probably asking for too much money. You know,
That's what I would have assumed.
I mean, why wouldn't we? Because Alex Verdugo is a serviceable major leaguer. I mean, he was the starting left fielder for a team that got to the World Series last year. I know he didn't have the greatest year in the world. In fact, it was one of the worst years of his career.
Yeah, but it's not like he hit 190.
No, he hit 230. A little bit better. He had 13 home runs, which is basically his average. Mm-hmm. That's his career high, tied for his career high. And he plays really good defense in left field. He's a Major League Baseball player. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you.
So you would have thought, yeah, he'll probably have to take a one-year deal, maybe $6 or $7 million, which is less than what he made last year. Fine.
And he's 29.
Right. The idea that he has not received a Major League offer is kind of nuts. It's crazy.
That's bizarre, to be honest with you. And so maybe it's more... he hasn't received an offer because people or teams think that he's going to reject it.
Well,
so it's not like he's demanding whatever the number is. It's exorbitant, but he just knows. Who's his agent?
I am not sure. It's not Scott Boras.
But it's not Scott Boras. So it's, I mean, you would assume that.
His agent is MVP Sports Group.
Yeah, so it's not someone who's going to be difficult. So that's surprising because he's a functional player.
Absolutely. Like, why wouldn't you offer him a one-year, even if you're the Yankees, by the way, who could certainly use another outfielder. Why wouldn't you offer him a one-year deal for $3.5 million with some incentives? Something like that. Incentives that could get it to $8 or $9 million. So when I read that in The Athletic, and I certainly trust their reporting, I found that really surprising. Alex Verdugo can't even get a major league offer? And Jose Iglesias was probably in the same boat because when Jose Iglesias finally signed with the Padres, it was a minor league deal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he had 338 last year. So it's odd, and I think it reminds you that if you wait too long, but then again, I can't even say wait too long because even if Verdugo and Iglesias were more willing to sign in November, if there were no major league offers, they're not going to take it. They're not taking a minor league offer.
I wonder if that age and lack of whatever, you know, not production, but just lack of oomph, like that specialness to signing you, put you in no man's land. You know what I mean? It's not that you're bad or you're not wanted. It just puts you in a place where you're only going to get called upon once injuries occur.
Well,
right, this happens in football a little bit sometimes with these aging veterans, whether it's a linebacker or a guard or whatever it may be. They won't get signed until the season starts and someone gets hurt.
Right.
Or training camp starts and someone gets hurt, even though they're still pretty good players. So that feels like the situation with Alex Verdugo, because that's surprising at 29 years old. He's not even 29 yet, that he didn't get an offer.
Kind of crazy.
It's one thing to say no to offer. It's another to not get any at all.
Very, very crazy. A lot on the table today. If you've missed it, you could rewind on the Odyssey app talking about all the New York legends that have been booed and something that Juan Soto may face if he doesn't get off to a good start. Also, the Tracy Morgan incident from last night at Madison Square Garden, how if you were watching the game on TV, you were kind of left in the dark, but luckily Tracy's okay. It was food poisoning. And even Vince McMahon was at last night's Knicks game. 888-808-1019. Mitchell is in Queens. How are you, Mitchell?
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I just want to shout out Tommy first. I'm very impressed. I would never be able to multitask, but participate in conversation and screen call.
That's a part of his talent. His guy's got a lot of talent. That's why some may say, really him, he's a generational talent.
Let's pump the brakes on that.
I won't lead us.
One thing that I felt so bad for Tracy Morgan upon seeing it last night or this morning, whenever I saw it, because I've been food poisoned twice. And when it comes, you can't control it. I know, Evan, you possess this special power. But now that he's better, part of me was wondering, we have a plethora of amazing announcers in New York. Imagine, like, Ian Eagle would have been hit. He'd have been like, connect, or he sticks it. could we get a bang out of Mike Green? I'm curious.
Bang on the hardwood. That would be the puke, not the...
Well, with Ian Eagle, when there is spillage at a game, which happens a lot in the NBA because these fans are so close to the floor. And I heard Al Dukes talking about it this morning, and he's so right. I was like, what other sport does this exist? Mm. Like in baseball, you're set up behind. In football, you're well behind. Basketball is the one sport.
Yeah, hockey, you're close, but you're separated.
There's glass above you, right? Basketball is the one sport in which your feet are on the floor. Like, you are a part of the game action. So even if you're not barfing everywhere, we saw it a few weeks ago with Deuce McBride running into Jennifer Hudson. We've seen it with spillage I just talked about, where there's a waitress supplying food to someone courtside, and then a ball hits her, or a player's going for a loose ball and runs into her or him, and everything's flying all over the place. But when there's spillage, Ian Eagle's one of the best at, like, doing play-by-play of the spillage. So, yeah, it would have been interesting if we knew Tracy would be okay to hear play-by-play of his spillage. You know? To hear what Ian would have done. I think the problem is we were concerned.
Yeah.
Like, you see that, and you're like, oh, my God, I hope he's okay, especially because of everything Tracy's been through.
Yeah.
This poor guy was in that horrible car accident years ago.
You went back and watched it?
Went back and watched what, the barf?
The barfing?
Yes. Ugh, why? I wanted to see what happened.
So you're not one of these people that barf?
I do not have a morbid curiosity to see people barfing.
Same. Makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, I would just feel, ugh.
Mm.
I trust the written word on what happened.
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see what it looked like.
You see one barf, you've seen them all. Well, is what Teak's saying.
I wanted to see, like, how violent it was.
Was it projectile?
How much it can be.
Well, you are.
People got action shots of it. Like, you literally saw it just coming at you. The whole thing. But I don't have that stomach issue that you guys apparently have, where if I see it, it's going to cause me to feel sick. I didn't feel sick at all. I just felt bad for Tracy. I wanted Tracy to be okay.
100%.
He's one of the great comedians of all time. Let's go to Danny in Bayonne. Hey, Danny.
What's going on, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to say you guys are all great.
Thank you, Danny.
You guys are hilarious. Shout-out to Tommy. He's definitely the future. Generational talent.
See? Generational talent right there.
And, you know, you just facts are facts, man. You know? You know? But I just called to talk to Teak real quick. So I've never been a Giants fan. I've always despised the Giants. But growing up, like, you were the man. Like, you were the best. You're definitely a Hall of Famer. I want to play a little trivia for you.
All right, go ahead.
So, I've only been to one football game in my life. It was a Giant game.
Okay.
December 17th, 2005. Do you remember that day?
December 17th,
2005.
All right, keep going.
So, that was a game, the only game I ever went to. I sat at the 50-yard line.
Was it freezing?
You rushed. Yeah, I think it probably was.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you had 29 attempts, and you rushed for 220 yards on 2 touchdowns. You were just phenomenal that night. Like, right. I was sitting at the 50, and there was this one run where, like, just everyone was so clustered on the one side, and then I'm just watching.
Right.
And you just came out of that hole like...
All right, that was that was a Kansas City game.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that game, for the only game I've ever been to, that game was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And by the way, it was a running back, like, duel.
Yes, it was.
Larry Johnson on the other side rushed for 180-something yards or something like that.
31 carries for LJ, 167 yards with 2 touchdowns. You had 29 carries for 220 yards and two touchdowns.
Right.
And the Giants won the football game 27-17. It was a Saturday game.
Mm-hmm.
And the temperature wasn't that cold.
It felt freezing on the field.
Fair enough.
Or at least the field was frozen.
It was 39 degrees,
right.
But who knows what the wind chill felt like.
Right. So, I mean, think about football back then. What year that was? 2005?
2005, yes.
Think about football back then. A game that was highly entertaining had nothing to do with the quarterbacks.
That's right. I mean, it was two running backs going at it.
Maybe they did have some plays here and there. But
Trent Green and Eli were average.
But it was about two running backs, who's going to get the 200 first.
Yeah. That's a battle right
there.
The
game has changed so much in 20 years. It's so different.
No question. Let's go to Andrew in Wayne, New Jersey. How are you, Andrew?
How you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call. One quick point. I wanted to talk to Tiki about something with the NFL. But before that, with the bracket conversation, I don't watch basketball. I did my bracket last year based on which mascot would win in a death fight. And this year, which team has the worst crime rate in that town is going to win the game.
Come on. Wait, hold on. Tell me how you did last year, Andrew.
I didn't know a lot of the team's mascots, so I had to look up what they were.
Right.
And if it was like the Dragons versus the Bulldogs.
Right, how did you do in the results?
Oh, horrible.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely horrible. I think I had a 16 seed go to the championship and win.
Nice.
So it's more just to have any type of involvement.
How do you, because I'm thinking about the crime rate that you're going to do this year. Doesn't that take a lot of research to have to go through 68 different college towns to get the numbers so that you could fill out the bracket?
Unfortunately, yes. But
that shows something about you. You're so willing.
Yes.
You know it's going to lead nowhere, but you're going to put in the research so that you could pull the bracket out accurately based on crime rate. That would take them hours to do.
But it would be a statistical marvel if it actually got them a championship.
I know. Because all you need is one stupid thing to screw you up. Like, at the end of the day, here are the facts. We could have fun with the tournament. We could put together crazy brackets. History's history.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to win a national championship, you are very likely to be a one seed. It's just the reality. Now,
you're also going to be east of Texas.
You're also right. That's the other thing. Is that true? Didn't San Diego State win the national title?
They were in the championship game. Right. They lost to UConn.
Last 27 champions are basically east of Texas.
That's kind of crazy.
It makes sense because the ACC and the SEC and the Big Ten, obviously the 12 as well, because Kansas is in there. Right? It makes sense.
It does. Geography, it makes sense. But it also makes sense that the favorited teams usually win. Like, UConn last year was a one seed.
Mm-hmm.
They beat another one seed to win the national title. When UConn won it all, they were a four seed.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas was a one seed. Baylor was a one seed. Your Virginia Cavaliers were a one seed. Villanova was a one seed. It's basically one seeds most of the time. So if you fill out your bracket in some kind of creative way, just make sure you don't have a 15 seed winning, because even though it's fun and cute, you're not winning.
Right.
Like, the only time someone who's not a top seed wins is when UConn wins as a 7 seed or a 4 seed.
I got it.
So it's still a blue blood. It's just done in a year and maybe their expectations weren't as high.
I have a different way to play the tournament game.
Go ahead.
So my buddy, Ron Berkowitz, he introduced me to this game called Run Your Pool. So you put in the entries. So we each do 4 entries. And then you get randomly assigned a team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I get St. John's.
Okay.
In one of my entries. If they win, I still have them in round 2. Right?
Yeah.
And so as long as my team that I get assigned to keeps winning, I keep having a chance, even if it's not who I picked to win the championship. And so even though I believe, I don't know, let's say Duke is going to win the national championship, I could get, I don't know, Drake as my team and they go on this magical run and I still win.
Interesting.
It's a different way to play the game.
It's
random.
Right. So you're really controlling nothing.
You're not controlling anything. It's just luck of the draw, which is basically what it is.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But you want to, even though you're right, it's luck of the draw, you want that pride that you correctly picked the national champion and won the, because it's cool.
Yeah, but
I admit it's cool.
If you really want that pride,
yeah,
go chalk every year. Eventually,
you're
gonna get
that's
it right.
What Obama did.
Eventually, you're going to get it right.
He filled out his brackets.
No, I'm seriously. Eventually, you're going to get it right.
No, you're right. And you're right about that because we just went through it more times than not.
Right.
A one seed's winning a national championship. What I try
and
to
that's
do.
That's boring, though.
I agree. My strategy, because I will fill out a bracket, and I haven't decided what I'm doing other than a few upsets I've mentioned on the air. I think North Carolina's going to win the first four game tonight. I think they're going to go on a run. I think Grand Canyon's going on a run. I had a few other things I said yesterday, but I've already forgot. My strategy always is to pick a one or two seed, but pick a one or two seed no one else is picking. Because if you go against the grain, you got a better chance of winning the whole damn thing. Mm. If I pick Duke, but half of everyone else is picking Duke.
Nobody's going to pick Duke.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm just saying this year.
Everybody picks Florida because they're the hot team, right? They are the hot team. That's what everybody loves this year. Whatever. That's not my point. Everybody picks Auburn. I try to pick a school that no one else is picking so that if they win the national championship, I'm almost a lock to win the whole damn thing. So what would be like a good, is Michigan State kind of an off team? Nah, people are going to pick Michigan State. Maybe it's like Kentucky, right? They're a blue blood. They're Kentucky. They're a three seed. Pick Kentucky to win the national title. Yeah, people aren't.
Yeah, and then they lose in the first round.
Well, then I'm screwed. Kansas. I'm screwed either way.
Right.
But my point is, if I win, I'm on a run.
Mm, true.
You know what I'm saying? And then I'm in business.
We talk about the pride thing. I almost broke up with my girlfriend in college over a bracket.
What?
Why?
Outcome. It was back when Michael Beasley was on K-State.
Okay.
They were playing USC. You got to look this up. USC had a great player, too. I had USC in the game. She had K-State. And I was super into it like I am. And I'm like, all right, I got USC, whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah. At the end of the game, she's like, oh, yeah, I had K-State. I go, what? You don't even watch. She goes, oh, Michael Beasley has nice eyes or something stupid. I was like, are you serious? I literally almost dumped her right on the spot.
What? What's wrong with you?
Because she had a crush on a basketball
either a
player
crush or
that she never was going to ever engage with or see.
Or Teak, like you said, your daughters fill it out. Perhaps they fill it out based on a mascot or the fella there with the crime rate. It annoys me when people do that.
Why?
I get people, because you know why, Evan?
Why?
I get you don't have to watch college basketball throughout the year, but you should base your opinions at least on some type of research and facts. Is that not fair?
No, you're completely
as
wrong.
As a sports fan?
You know what I figured out based on that answer?
What's that?
This is why he doesn't want my 8-year-old Jet in the bracket pool.
Why?
Because it will piss him off if he wins. He can't lose to an 8-year-old. Now, most of us don't care. We're like, it's a stupid bracket game. Who cares? This guy, you know Tommy, he takes this personal.
Right.
Everything's a personal affront. So if an 8-year-old beats him, or in that case, his ex-girlfriend beats him, I'm going to dump you.
Right.
This is a cry. You don't even watch college basketball.
He was more upset because he thought Michael Beasley had nice eyes.
It was all because Taj Gibson and O.J. Mayo didn't have good games.
O.J. Mayo was the guy.
That was the reason why.
And then the guy you love, the Lopez twins on Stanford, they blew a game at the end. I stormed out of a Ruby Tuesday where my parents and that girlfriend were there. Mm. And I was like, oh, boy, I probably overreacted to that one. Right. I'm into it. But Evan's right. It's a pride thing. Mm. You don't want to lose to the person in accounting. You don't want to lose to Jet Roberts. I don't want to lose to my girlfriend.
Speaking of you're into with this, and you very much are into the NCAA tournament, there are a lot of people who believe Thursday and Friday are the two best days on the sports calendar. This morning I saw it, and I wasn't sure what I was going to think when I saw it, but I did see the Happy Gilmore 2 trailer. And look, here's my attitude towards.
How long ago was the first one?
A long time ago, many years ago. My attitude towards sequels is this, because I think some people get very sensitive about it. Like, hey, that first movie was great. Why ruin it with a sequel? You never ruin a great movie with a sequel. You may just have a sequel that sucks, but that doesn't ruin the original movie. Like, Independence Day to me is one of the great movies of all time. It's a cinema classic. They came out with Independence Day 2 Resurgence years ago, many years after the original. And I would tell you that Independence Day 2 Resurgence is terrible. It doesn't take away the fact that President Pullman, I know that's his real name, he's the great president of all time. Like, the movie was still awesome. Will Smith is still telling the aliens, welcome to Earth. Was that literally a clip from Independence Day? Good job.
Yes, it was.
Very nice.
I think when people say they ruin it is when they try to remake it. Remaking is different than sequeling.
But even if you remake it, it doesn't ruin the original. Like, they tried to remake Planet of the Apes. Cue your jokes there, Tommy. And as bad as it was, it didn't ruin the original. So We got to stop being sensitive about it. If Happy Gilmore 2 stinks, it stinks. Okay, we don't like it. It's not going to take away from the original.
What's it about?
Did you ever see Happy Gilmore 1?
Of course I did. So don't you want to go home?
Get your home. Go to your, are you too good for your home?
Is Shooter in it still?
I didn't see Shooter in it.
What?
Well, hold on. I think I did. In the trailer,
hold on. I got to look it up.
It starts with, not to spoil the trailer, but Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler's looking at the busts of other people that have won big tournaments, and it's some of the legendary golfers of all time, Tiger Woods, and then you see Happy Gilmore, and I guess it's about him competing again, and he's kind of bringing back his game to compete one more time. I don't know the specifics other than he's going to be playing golf again, and it's Adam Sandler.
96.
Yeah.
That was almost 30 years ago.
Is that the longest time between a sequel?
It has to be. I wonder if it was intentional or if they were just like, you know what? Might as well bring it back.
My gut is Adam Sandler has a deal with Netflix. And as part of his creative deal with Netflix, he's like, you know what? Screw it. I can't think of another idea. Let's just go with Happy Gilmore 2. Scooter is in this movie?
Shooter, not Scooter.
Shooter.
Shooter McCavish.
It's been that
Shooter
long, I forgot.
Shooter is in it, and there's no plot. The plot is unknown at this time. I've looked.
Well, based on the trailer, the plot is him coming back to compete. Like, one of the funny scenes is he's doing the virtual golf, and he hits the ball so hard it goes right through the screen. That's one of, like, the comedy moments. So there are some hints of what the movie's going to be about. And look, I can't tell you it's going to be great or not. I'm a big Sandler guy. Adam is usually very funny. But even if it's bad, it's okay. Yeah. It doesn't ruin the original.
I think what might be cool about this is that they're acknowledging how long it's been.
Well, how can you not?
They're just basically saying, it's been 25 years. I'm picking up the golf club again.
It's that, and they have all the professional golfers in it. Bryson DeChambeau is in it. Keegan Bradley is in it. John Daly, Brooks Koepka. So they have all these pro golfers that went to Jersey to film everything, right, which is very cool.
That is cool. How many years was it, you said, between...
96 was when it... was when the last one was.
So how many years is that going to add up to?
Well, 29 years to now.
So 28 years?
Mm. Yeah.
Is that the math?
Probably when they filmed it.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's almost the same amount of time. Just to put in perspective how long time that is, that's almost the same amount of time between the original Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston and The Abomination in 2001. Think about that. Yeah. That's 33 years. This is going to be 28 years.
Abe Lincoln. Is that the one he just said?
The greatest ending in the history of cinema. It's really thought-provoking. You have a long conversation.
Do you have anything else to add besides this, please?
I do, actually.
Thank you.
What I like about this sequel, unlike some remakes, is you're getting Adam Sandler. Maybe you're getting Ben Stiller.
That's a good point.
You're getting Shooter. White Men Can't Jump. I'm sorry. That remake they did, and it doesn't have Wesley Snipes. It doesn't have Woody Harrelson. Even if they're old and they're at the beach and their muscles are flabby, I'd rather see them like this,
but you know
where
what
you're
the
getting happy
is?
30 years later than two actors that are, I guess, young and hip, one of the singers was
but
in
the
it.
But the difference is it's a remake versus a sequel.
That's what I mean. I like the sequels rather than a remake because, to me, you fall in love with the characters. And, Evan, you have young kids. They maybe have never seen Happy Gilmore.
Right,
this is their chance to see. No, but Happy Gilmore 2 could be their
right to go back and watch one.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Oh, no doubt. My kids are already. I'm already queuing it up. I'm thinking I'm going to wait till July because this movie doesn't come out till middle of July. But you're right about that. Like, this is an excuse to rewatch Happy Gilmore because the more I think about it, the fact that I can't even remember Shooter McGavin's name tells me it's been a long time since I've seen this.
I mean, it came out 28 years ago.
In fact, it's been so long. I have to ask a very dumb question. In the trailer, the love interest of Adam Sandler is the blonde woman from Modern Family. Was she also the love interest in the original Happy Gilmore?
Julie Bowen?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't even realize that because now I think of her as the mom from Modern Family and not even the love interest from Happy Gilmore.
I wonder how they acknowledge Carl Weathers, Chubbs.
Ah, yeah. That's tough because he's no longer with us. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if he filmed it before.
That's very possible.
He passed away.
They may have gotten a scene in there. They may have done that.
That was last year, right?
Yeah. I think he passed away about a year ago or two. And this has been in the works for a while because you've heard about it. That was one of the big issues. I mentioned Independence Day as a comp on this. One of the biggest issues with Independence Day was that Will Smith wasn't in the movie.
Right.
You know, Will Smith needed to be in the sequel. If you're going to bring a classic movie back 30 years later or 20 years later, you got to bring back...
Yeah.
The
know,
actors.
I don't know if I saw the sequel to Independence Day.
Don't see it. It wasn't good.
No, it was terrible.
My son loves it, which is interesting because...
Well, it's because he probably didn't see one.
No, he saw one.
He did.
I showed him one. He loved it. He's like, oh my God, is there a sequel? I said, yeah, it actually just came out a few years ago. I warned him. I don't think it's that good, but you never know. And he loves it almost as much as the original, to the point where he's asking, when are they coming out with a third? And I told him, and this is actually true, they were planning on coming out with a third. The second was so critically ripped that they canceled coming out with a third one. So it wasn't just me saying it was bad. Unfortunately, people agreed.
But remember, spoiler alert for anybody listening, Chubbs, Carl Weathers' character, does die in Happy Gilmore. But I assume that he would have maybe perhaps been like...
Yeah, but wasn't he an angel? Like
exactly. He's right. In that scene, The Happy Place. So I, if they did film stuff, maybe he is in scenes. Right, I don't know that, but...
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Paul is in Palisades Park. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. Evan and Tiki, how are you guys?
Good afternoon. Good.
Tiki, congrats on a storied career.
Thank you.
Evan, thanks along with you and Tommy for, you know, holding up Met fandom, representing us. Appreciate it. Hey, I'm a long-time caller. Second-time caller, specifically to you, Evan.
Nice.
Because I was a little hurt 20 years ago.
Uh-oh.
You know,
what'd I do?
You were talking, you know, Alex Rodriguez had just joined the Yankees, and there's a whole debate on the fan. I think you were with, you were Joe Beningo at the time, right? And Yankee fans were booing Alex Rodriguez, and you said they had every right to. And I was calling you in to say, yo, Yankee fans got to give Alex Rodriguez a break, and you hung up on me and continued to bash me without letting me offer my reasons. And I'm a little hurt. I've carried that hurt for 20 years.
Well, you know what? I don't know if it's too late.
Wow.
But, Paul, I apologize. I shouldn't have hung up on you and then ripped you for another 15 minutes.
Right.
I feel bad.
What was the point you were making?
Yeah, do you want to finish your point now all these years later and call me names? Because I'll accept it.
No. Actually, I don't care. Who the hell are you? So I could care less.
That's a good attitude.
I'm kidding. So my point is about booing fans. Like, we were talking about booing Jeter. I mean, you know, this is coming from Mets fans, so maybe, you know, whatever. Thinking you can chime in.
Yeah.
But I remember towards the end of Jeter's career, right? He insisted being at the top of the lineup, insisted playing shortstop, and he was killing the Yankees. Was that not a boo-boo offense? And I'll leave it at that. Thank you guys so much.
That's interesting. Because he had diminished as a player, right? He wasn't a great leadoff hitter anymore. He was still a decent shortstop, probably better than most, but not elite like he was at some points. But I don't know if that's booable, because you let the legend age in baseball. You just let it happen.
Mm.
It's different with football because if you let your quarterback get too old and it starts to show up, and the problem is, when you look at like the Mannings, they could still win games. Like, Peyton won a Super Bowl when he was very diminished. Eli, you know, he wasn't great at the end, but it wasn't like he was unplayable. It's hard when you have a legend.
It's tough. There's no good answer to it, man.
There isn't a good answer.
And I don't know when I berated our last caller, but maybe it was the end of A-Rod. I don't remember, because there were different controversies around Alex, and one of which was how to have it end, because he came back after the suspension and had a really good year in 2015, but in 2016, he was cooked. And A-Rod was not Jeter. You know, he was not someone that they were just going to let age gracefully or age any way he wanted and let him leave on his own accord. They basically threw him out. Because things got so bad.
And he was saying he didn't want him thrown out? Is that the point?
Our last caller?
And that you hung up on him because he said, respect A-Rod?
I wasn't sure. I couldn't hear very clear. So we need to have another conversation. Sometime call back another day.
Yeah.
And maybe we can rehash the A-Rod debate. In fact, I got a great idea. On February 16th, 2026, that's next year. That's the second anniversary of A-Rod Day here on WFAN. I invite our last caller to come in to the studio live. He can watch our program, and we'll give him a segment to discuss A-Rod. I think that's a perfect way to help celebrate A-Rod Day.
Now
we're one with the listener.
Let's make sure.
Can you get his info? Did we lose that guy's info? Or did we write down his info? This is a year from now, so just write it down and put it away. We don't have to, like, break it down now. I know he hung up, but don't we have, like, files, Rosie, in which you can pull up his number?
Yeah, February 16th.
2026.
That is a Monday.
That's a Monday. That is the second anniversary of A-Rod Day.
Will that be Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, crap. I hope it's not.
No. That should be the Sunday after.
Yeah, we got time.
Right.
We will bring him back as part of the A-Rod Day festivities. And not only that, we're going to find the call in which I hung up on him,
nice,
replay the call, and he will get a retort all these years later.
Nice.
You like that idea?
That's a good one.
That's long-term booking right there, because that's for next February.
The man from Milwaukee.
Monday, February 16th.
I'm literally writing it down. Seriously, Tommy.
2026. He should be off work if he's working, because it's President's
Day. How about that? Get the guy's number and text it to me, because you're going to forget about all this, and that's fine. I will put it in my files, and in early February, we'll set the whole thing up. By the way, real quick, before we get back to your calls, we mentioned this a little bit earlier. There is a belief amongst many out there that Thursday and Friday is like the best sports day of the calendar. Mm. It's also a day known for guys getting their, you know, the things taken care of. So that I think they...
Vasectomies?
The vasectomy, yes. You've heard that. That Friday and Thursday of the NCAA.
I just saw Tommy's face. It was like, ouch.
Did that hurt you, Tommy? You didn't even have any kids.
It doesn't matter. It still hurts you to think about it.
That's true, of course.
Even though it doesn't hurt.
I think for you, Tommy, not to put words into your mouth, Thursday and Friday, the NCAA tournament is the best sports day of the year for you.
Yeah, they're the best two sports days on the calendar, in my opinion. Correct.
Respect your opinion. Here's why I can't buy it. I personally can't buy it. Because do we really have an emotional connection to the teams playing?
No, if you do, it's one thing. So back when Virginia was in this thing, it mattered.
If Virginia's in this thing.
Right. That's what I mean. They're not even in the tournament this year. So, but I'm talking about back when they won in 2014, whatever it was. I was really into it because I knew they were good and I knew they had a shot. So, and then they lost the year before on 116 back.
Yes, first
so
one.
It was just like, this one really means something. So I was really into it that year. But subsequent to that, I wasn't really into it.
But even when Virginia's into it, it's that game that you're pumped up for, not the whole day of college basketball.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Like, I find Thursday and Friday, I'm not putting it down. It's a very exciting day. I fill out the bracket. I'm watching more college basketball than I have all year. Well, I'm not saying it's a bad day, but I can't put that up there.
Well, you know
with
why,
Super Bowl
you know why it's, you know why it's so thought of that way is because people gamble so much money on
I understand.
It. And so it's like, man, I'm gonna make a grip if I whatever. That's what they're worried about.
No, and
that's why it's a big day.
I understand why Tommy feels that way and a lot of others. I'm just expressing while it's a cool day, it's not the number one sports day in my mind. I would put it up there in the top 10. Like, it's a cool day, but it's not number one. And the other problem I have with it is the NCAA tournament is the one sporting event where it gets worse as it goes on.
Yeah.
Like, the most exciting day is the first day.
Yeah, you get an upset, that team that upset the better team likely is going to get their butts kicked.
You see the interest sometimes, not always, diminish as the tournament goes on because there's less games or less of a connection or your bracket's out or whatever reason you come up with. So it's a cool day, but I would put divisional weekend above it, either divisional Saturday or Sunday. I'd put wild card Saturday or Sunday. I'd put championship Sunday, and I'd put the Super Bowl. So I put all the NFL playoff games ahead. The other one I'd put up there, I'm not even going to say opening day. I know that you're expecting that because opening day, I think, is truly exciting for your team. So it's one day. So the Cincinnati Reds playing the Pittsburgh Pirates doesn't necessarily excite you.
Right.
I think the other one that's up there, and we had this past year, it's unique. It doesn't happen all the time, is when you have a football Sunday and your baseball team in the playoffs that night. Mm. Now, unfortunately, this past year, we had a lot of going on at the same time garbage.
Yeah.
Like Jets Steelers.
It was almost too full.
It was too much. There's too much crap going on. Like, remember when the Yankees went up against the Jets and the Mets went up against the Jets?
Yeah.
And then the Yankees went up against the Giants? Like, it was constant. So when it's at the same time, it's like, it's just too much. But a football Sunday with, like, the Jets in the afternoon and the Mets or the Yankees at night? That blows away college basketball Thursday.
Yeah, but that's local. Not every part of the country has that.
I get you.
You know what I mean?
We don't always get that.
True.
Because
we have the ability to get that.
Right.
Because, you're not going to care specifically about a team. This year you will because St. John's, but you're not specifically caring about an NCAA tournament team, but you care about your football or baseball team.
So for you, Tiki, what is the best sports day of the year?
It's probably Super Bowl Sunday.
Just Super Bowl Sunday.
Just Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. I think Championship Sunday is better than Super Bowl Sunday. If I had to pick one, if I had to say I can only pick one, and the baseball thing is tough because the baseball teams need to be good, I think it's Championship Sunday.
The reality,
I think setting up the Super Bowl matchup is the best sports day of the year because you always know you're getting that. You're getting two games, two awesome games late in the day.
Yeah, but that becomes daunting because it's like it's so emotionally draining. If you care.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
That's sports,
baby. It's just big. But you're almost guaranteed to get a good game in the Super Bowl. Almost. This year we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't get that this year.
But you generally get good game, like great games.
See, that's why I would look at the Championship Sunday ahead of the Super Bowl, because it's one game and sometimes you don't get a good game. On Championship Sunday, the odds are higher that at least one of those games
will be a classic. When was the last time we had a bet? Forget last season, which was destruction by the Eagles. Mm-hmm. When was the last bad Super Bowl?
No, we haven't had a lot.
We just don't have them.
Tampa Bay against Kansas City when Pat Mahomes had the same issue we had this year.
Right.
But you're right. Like, for the most part, the Super Bowl is awesome.
That one was almost enjoyable because you got to see Tom Brady resurrect.
No, that was not enjoyable. That's your opinion.
Why? I mean, you just because you hate Tom Brady.
Yes. Well, I think I represent a lot of Americans. I wasn't enjoying that. And the thing about opening day, because I know there are a lot of people out there that either think I would say opening day or it is opening day, is that there's multiple opening days. Like, when your team plays...
We just had opening day yesterday.
No, it was this morning, and that is not opening day.
Oh, well, it was yesterday for them.
Yesterday was nothing. What was yesterday? Yesterday in Japan, maybe.
Actually, that was today. I'm confused.
That's what I'm saying. It was today.
What was that game?
It was 6 a.m.
today for us, but what was it for them?
It was last night. Wait, I'm confused. It was tonight.
What?
I don't know. No, it was this morning for us, Tommy. No, we're talking about Japan. It wasn't this morning for them. It was at night.
How many hours difference?
It's like a 15-hour time difference.
I am a mentally weak moron.
No. Not
how many hours are in between?
No. So when did they play that game? What did they play
morning.
It yesterday? Or no, they played
in
it this
Japan,
morning for us.
Bro.
I understand there's big time differences, but that's mind-blowing to me. They played the baseball game this morning.
But that's not what he's asking.
Tokyo is 13 hours
ahead. So right now it's 5 o'clock in the morning Wednesday?
It's what? 5 o'clock in the morning
So they Wednesday. Played the game on Tuesday night.
Yes.
We watched the game on Tuesday morning. So it was the same day.
Yes.
So for them in Japan, yesterday was opening day. For us, opening day was this morning.
Couldn't they pull a Back to the Future 2? They already know the results. They can call somebody here in America and tell us what happened already, and then we could place a bet on the game. Am I missing
Tiki,
something?
Who's dumber, Tommy or Sean? If you had to pick one. If you had to pick one. Which
one's
dumber?
Sean's not commenting on this.
Probably say a similar thing.
Well, you just have to say Tommy.
Insult me. You just had to answer the question.
My point, though, is opening day is 2 days. Like, it's next Thursday. Right, it's exciting. Mets are in Houston. Yankees are at home against the Brewers.
I can't believe it's next Thursday.
And then a week later, Met fans re-celebrate because it's the home opener.
Yes.
So it's multiple days of celebrations. Let's go to Chris in Staten Island. How are you, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? DK, what's happening?
All's good.
What's up?
I got a fact for you. Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Undertaker were all at the Super Bowl together.
That's right.
Did they show them on the broadcast?
I don't think so. I think like FanDuel and the other guys, like Sportsbook, all those weird sports
sites
on Facebook did that. Kevin, do you watch AEW as well?
I used to watch it a lot more. Now I just keep up. So I know that MJF is being recruited by MVP. That's where my knowledge is of AEW. Why?
Well, speaking of MJF, he's actually also in the sequel for Happy Gilmore.
Is that true?
As
MJF or as like just a different character?
As an actor.
I do not know that much. I just know
that's very important because MJF, I feel bad for MJF because he's this incredible talent who's stuck in a second-rate promotion. And if he was in the WWE,
why can't he get out?
Well, he chose to stay. He made his own decision. Yeah. And that's fine.
No, like if he chose, he's not stuck then.
Well, I'm saying he's stuck. I mean, he's probably very happy making a lot of money. I think he's a brilliant talent.
Oh, they're overpaying him, you mean?
I don't think he's overpaid. I think he's the only thing worth watching. Honestly, our last caller asked me if I watch AEW, and the correct answer is I watch when MJF is on TV. That's how I watch AEW. I don't consume anything else about the product because I don't think it's good, except for him. He is a wrestling... In fact, you know what I've done with MJF?
Maxwell.
Jacob Friedman from Long Island. My kids love wrestling figures, and they made me start my own wrestling league. MJF is the WWE champion in my wrestling league.
He's the WWE champion.
Yeah, I had him leave
even
AEW.
Though he's the AEW.
Yeah, because I have his figure, or my sons have his figure.
Why is he so great?
Ah, he's brilliant on the mic. And he's a great wrestler. He's the whole package. He's one of the great talents of our generation. True story. Mm. Let's go to Rich in Staten Island. Hey, Rich.
Guys, how are you?
What's up, man?
What's up?
All right. You know, I was just, I'm 70 years old. I remember going to Yankee games with my father. I'm just touching up on a previous caller who said that Mickey Mantle was applauded when he struck out. I mean, we had tickets. My father had permanent seats between home plate and first base. And I don't ever remember the fans booing Mickey when he struck out, but they certainly didn't. I don't recall him ever being applauded when he struck.
Yeah, it's a tough one to believe. I was reading a story, Rich, and this is the problem, because it's a long time ago, and I trust you, but it's also a long time ago. You forget stuff. I forget stuff. But I was reading an article that in 1960, Mickey Mantle was booed at Yankee Stadium when he struggled in a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what it was? I'm reading it again.
Yeah.
He wasn't hustling.
Ah.
And the Yankee fans booed him. And this is, quote,
maybe he was sick?
Yeah, he was dealing with rib issues. He always had injuries as part of Mickey's career. And apparently, you know, we didn't have Twitter back then, so maybe we didn't know how injured Mickey was. But Mickey Mantle was, quote, heavily booed. And Casey Stengel took him out of the game.
Mm.
Probably because of the injury. So in 1960, the height of Mickey Mantle, Yankee fans were booing him. Now, I'm reading an article from 65 years ago. I don't know if people remember it. I mean, think about this. Earlier in the show, when we were talking about Soto being booed and others being booed, we talked about Jeter being booed. Tommy read an excerpt from an article in which we were talking about how Jeter got booed in late April of 2004. And I literally said, hey, if you booed Derek Jeter that night, call in. I want you to admit that you booed him. We haven't heard from one person all day to admit this. I think that even if people booed Mickey Mantle and they're still alive, they would not call in and admit it.
No.
People are ashamed of it.
He's a legend.
Even the Piazza stuff.
Especially because back then, you really didn't do that to your legends.
Oh, of course not. Or at least we don't think they did. But even the Piazza thing, the only person I've been able to really talk to about booing Mike Piazza is Pete Hoffman, because he's on the RICO and he was being honest. But I never hear people say, all right, it was me. People are ashamed of it. They feel dirty that they did it. Real quick, Jim is in Levittown. Hey, Jim.
Hey, I wanted to give a couple of things. The Odd Couple, there was a sequel for The Odd Couple that was 30 years after the original.
And how was it? Was it any good? Because I don't even know about it.
It was okay, but it was for old people by then. It was still Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, so it was basically people in their 70s.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. 1998, so 30 years after the sequel. Interesting.
And the thing where I wouldn't say that the sequel ruined the original, but it certainly changed a plot point.
Go ahead.
Was Gladiator 2. Gladiator 2 came out last year. I'm not going to spoil it if you don't want me to.
No, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, there's just a thing where you look at it, if you look at the original now, you know something that you wouldn't have known.
Is it a good thing that you know, or is it kind of bad and you wish you didn't know it?
They needed to do it to make the movie more entertaining.
Interesting.
The second one. Got it.
Interesting.
Now I got to watch that tonight.
Because one thing I've decided to do with plot points on TV shows and movies I like, if I don't like the plot point, I just ignore it ever happened. Mm. So can I give you a specific example of this?
What do you mean, the plot? Go ahead.
I love 90210. Okay, I'll be the first to tell you. Love it.
Yeah.
It was on for 10 seasons.
That's why. It's too long.
Part of the problem.
That's what I'm saying. You just run out of stuff to do, and you're like, all right, let's do this.
When Brandon left the show, Jason Priestley, his character's name was Brandon Walsh. When he left the show, in the final few scenes, they rewrote his debut. Like, him and Steve Sanders, Ian Ziering, are retelling a story in which he tripped at West Beverly High School and Donna Martin called him Greg Louganis. Now, I've watched this show. I've studied this show.
Right.
That never happened. That did not happen. And so,
actually happened?
What happened is they moved from Minnesota. They went to a party in the pilot. And Brandon, the pilot of the show, and Brandon was making out with this girl in the jacuzzi at the big party.
And then they all moved to Beverly Hills?
Well, they were in Beverly Hills at this point.
Right.
Like, that Greg Louganis part never happened. So what I've chosen to do as a 90210 stan is I make believe that scene never happened. Because it doesn't make sense. And it contradicts what actually happened if you watch the show.
Hmm.
Now, I think writers should have been fired for that. That is egregious.
How many people have been, is this well known?
I think if you watch the show, you know, and you say that doesn't make sense. It's like, Tommy, I'll put it in language you'd understand. Yeah. Professional wrestling.
Okay.
It's like a writer changing the history of a wrestling storyline from 8 years earlier because, well, it's 8 years ago, people forgot. Vince used to do that crap all the time.
Sure do.
So I hate that. And I think WWE does a much better job of not doing that anymore, by the way.
They do that a lot better now lately. I think they sometimes thought we don't have a memory and we don't remember these things. What they don't realize is we're dorks and we do remember.
Right.
We take it very seriously.
You're very invested.
And we are very, because to us, it's like a TV show. It's a soap opera.
Well, and 90210 is a TV show, so don't screw up or change what actually happened. And that's what they did.
I'm just trying to
you
think.
You can't laugh at this, Mr. Wrestling fan.
What year did this happen, Evan?
The year of it when it came out?
Correct.
1998 when Brandon left.
Can you imagine a young Evan Roberts writing a letter to Tori Spelling's dad, getting mad at him for Mr. Spelling?
Mr. Spelling.
Evan Roberts here, 90210 is my favorite show. This is egregious! And they sent him like a bumper sticker or something. Right. Sorry, kiddo.
You have a historical inaccuracy.
I mean, it was egregious, bro.
Because you wrote George
how
W.
How do you know it didn't happen? They just didn't air it.
Because that's not how he met Donna and Kelly. I remember the scene where he met them.
I mean, teenage kids don't remember how they meet anybody.
Come on, Tate. Come on. I'm
telling you. They changed their minds.
Give me
I remember how I met that guy or that girl. Oh, yeah. No, this is how it actually happened. They just took creative license.
I appreciate you attempting to make this better, but it was bad.